My name is Vilma V, and I'm really excited about what I have in store for you today, though I must admit it's a difficult topic to bring up, but it is so important that we keep this subject on our minds, given the reality of so many women's lives. So, trigger warning, this show, in fact, this entire hour is all about recognizing April as Sexual Assault Awareness Month and never, ever forgetting how many women are affected by sexual violence, many at a very young age and beyond, unfortunately. It's something we have to be vigilant about when we're both 8 years old and 80. And it reminds me that there was a very, very disturbing account of Giselle Pellicot in France last year, whose husband was convicted, along with like 50 or 60 other men, of raping Miss Pellicot at night in her own home after she had been drugged by her husband. This depraved activity went on for years and years and was only uncovered after her husband was arrested for an entirely different matter. I believe he was caught looking up women's skirts in a store or something like that. And then French law enforcement found all these videos of Miss Pellicot being raped while unconscious on her husband's computer. And before you think that such things are only linked to bored Frenchmen in rural France, then you need to hear about the American case of the Alexander brothers. These are two twin brothers who worked in high-end real estate in New York and along the East Coast. And they were just convicted, again, after a long trial, of raping and drugging women for years, back since they were in college. And they were finally brought to justice and were convicted last month in early March. And they're going to be sentenced in August of this year. Also, that happened to be there were three brothers involved in that terrible case. There were twin brothers and they have an older brother who was also involved. Terrible family affair. They were all very handsome. They were all very rich. And they were all super predatory, harming other very rich women. But of course, this transcends all classes. We'll wait and see what kind of sentence they receive this August. Many of the victims are publicly not seeking financial remedies because these women have their own money. What they want is justice and accountability for what has been done to them. I mean, I think I could spend the whole hour just listing this horrible behavior and all the attempts women have made to get justice and accountability when it comes to sexual harassment and violence. But I'm just going to end by simply mentioning Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta and the other few women who have come forward to finally break their silence about the abuse and rape they suffered at the hands of the farm worker labor leader Cesar Chavez, who is dead, by the way. He died in 1993. He died the year I graduated from college because our whole Chicano Latino graduation was centered on Cesar Chavez. So I'll never forget that. It's over 30 years ago. So there's going to be no trial for these women, no trial for Cesar, and no personal accountability on Cesar Chavez for his behavior. And yet, the women who had to endure his advances and who kept quiet, I mean, I was shocked by Dolores Huerta's announcements and her admissions, quiet for so many years, and they continue to suffer. So we got to speak up. We got to break the silence. If you see something, you need to say something. And you, I mean, that little phrase shouldn't be limited to like large gatherings or what you hear at airports. Breaking the silence is what this hour is all about. Breaking the silence about sexual harassment, about sexual assault, about rape, and the sexual oppression of women, and learning hopefully a little bit about how or where we can get some help and how we can start to heal from it all. Because I swear, I feel like I suffer from secondary trauma from being aware of all the sexual violence women are subjected to. And knock on wood, I have not been subjected to any in the last few years. But my goodness, we need to be aware of this. It's like that famous quote by James Baldwin, not every problem you face can be solved, but no problem will ever be solved until it is faced. So speaking of my brother, James Baldwin, I want to remind, of course, all men, I'm sure they're saying this, reminds me that all men often say, hey, wait, it's not all men. I'm married to a wonderful man. I have two wonderful young sons. So I get that. It's not all men, of course, who are committing sexual violence against us. But unfortunately, it is all women. All women who live under the threat of sexual violence. And when you add in the uncertainty of where we're at politically, the war, the fact that our current president himself, number 47, has been convicted of sexual abuse of the writer E.G. Carroll in a court of law, along with the entire scandal of the Epstein files, which we still do not have them released, right? The full, they've been redacted, and now Bondi's gone. Oh, my God. Just pointing to an entire cadre of global elites that use their influence and power and money to basically abuse and rape and traffic young women and girls all around the world. It's a lot. So while it's important that we must not let our unique concerns and interests as women be placed on the back burner, all the other things we're facing, I am very anti-war right now. But the challenges of living under patriarchy and demands and dismantling it has to happen at the same time that we struggle for the better world that we know in our hearts is possible. That means no sexual violence. We can't lose sight of our own particular battles that we must continue to fight as women, both politically and personally. Men are not going to liberate us. They're not going to save us from sexual violence or harassment or abuse. We need to do it. We need to bring this fight to every front we find ourselves in. We must demand a new paradigm in how men relate to women and how we secure our own safety, particularly as the country continues to move further into war against Iran. We are now on the front lines of authoritarianism, increased oligarchy, and, you know, it's just a very breakdown of the rules-based order. Times are super uncertain right now, but we're not going to lose sight that we are responsible for our own liberation as women. It is not given to us by men. We got to take it. Men can join us in this fight, of course, but we have the strength of a goddess. We're not going to wait for them. We're going to take our own actions, and we're going to insist, compel, and maybe even force them to change. We need to speak up. And that brings me to my first guest, who's sitting right next to me. And her name is Hunia Bradley. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hunia Bradley, so everyone can know, is the executive director of the Sexual Assault Advocacy Network. She's a community servant leader, a healer, an herbalist, a former educator, a youth advocate, a chef. I need to have your food at some point. And she is herself a survivor of incest and child sexual abuse. And she has transformed her lived experience into a powerful platform, creating safe in-person spaces where survivors and communities can heal, connect, and reclaim our voice. And we are speaking up today.
Yes, we are.
All right. So let's start right into it. How do we break the silence? How did you do it, and why did you do it?
Ooh. You know, that's a... It took a long time. You know, I think my first abuse, or whatever you want to call this, my earliest memory was like 8 years old. And then up until like age 11, I was told that my father was dead, right? And then, you know, I'd never forget this. I remember coming in the home. And my mom says, somebody, I need you to meet, and this is your father. I was about 11 years old. And, you know, she's like, you know, I don't know what to do with all that. Long story short, within a year of meeting him, he began to groom me. Ooh. And this went on, you know, for a long time. And I finally... like broke free in high school, and I didn't tell my mother until I was about almost like 50.
Oh man.
And I just, you know, years of shame and like all the things. And what broke me was the movie Precious. I went to see the movie Precious with my guy at the time. And he had to carry me out of the theater. It was just And he took me to my mother. And her response was, well, it didn't happen when you live with me. Mm. See, I left my home at 15, 14, you know? And so, everything happens for a reason, because I can't imagine what my life had been like had I told her at that time. That, right?
Yeah, if you weren't 50.
Woo! Mm. And so, thank God for community, you know? Thank God for lots and lots and lots of therapy, which, you know, I'm still dealing with. That's why this thing is happening now. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing now, because it's like there's so many tools that I had to use in order to break free. So there's therapy, there's EFT, there's prayer, there's meditation, there's massage, there's somatic, works and all the different things. And so they have helped me. They have, empowered me to now, share my story. Because at one time I couldn't do this without just bursting into tears.
Sure.
And there's still times. Last night I'm doing this deep, I'm doing this deep dive so I can have this conversation with you, because I hadn't really looked into the Pellicott Institute incident and the Alexander Brothers. I heard about it, but not really. So then I'm like, okay, I need to look at this because you might ask me some questions. And oh my God. But what I do know and what I can say is that we know it's not isolated.
At all, for sure.
This is, you know what the pandemic is? This right here. Mm. Sexual assault, sexual abuse, pedophilia, incest. This is what's happening. It is everywhere. Everywhere I've traveled. When I was in Ghana, I'm there, and we're sitting amongst the chief, and he's talking about she gonna make a great wife. What? What, sir? Mm. She is 12, 11? What are you talking about? And, people say, well, that's the culture. Nah, that's inappropriate. Blink if you need some help. We know you need some help. And, what we're seeing out here playing out in the world with Trump and all that's happening in our families. Trump is our uncle. Trump is my father. Mm-hmm. Trump is the babysitter, right? Trump is the cousin, 15 years older. I'm labeled as fast, right? I'm 15, he's 25. I'm fast and he what, a player? Mm. Oh my God. So I'm walking around with the shame. Every time I walk in the room, I'm feeling the shame, and he's being celebrated. It happens all the time, right? So guess who I am now? I'm the auntie that say, who's coming? Who coming to dinner? Not on my watch. I'm standing at the door. We're going to have a conversation before he walks in this door, if they walk in the door. Because we're talking about some accountability, right?
I love that you mentioned the shame, because I know that brings back the French case where she purposely outed herself and refused to be anonymous, and it was to shift that.
Absolutely.
To shift it. So talk a little bit about how the shame kind of entraps us, and how does it develop, and then what it does to us.
Well, there's a thing, because there's this thing happening, and mentally and whatever you know that something's not right, but then the body responds differently. So you're like, this is wrong, but it don't feel quite so wrong. Like, what's happening here? Mm. And then, depending on your age, there's no words to really articulate what's happening. And so, and then you hear people talking. So, there's something wrong with it. But who can you talk to? We don't really create safe spaces for these conversations. We overhear our parents. We overhear our friends talking, and the adults in our lives saying these things, and you feel like you'll get in trouble, right? Mm. There's trouble waiting.
Like
for
you've
you.
Done something.
You've
wrong.
Done something
Instead
wrong.
Of wrong being
well,
done
of course
to
I
you.
Did. I'm fast. Of course I did. I'm fast. Mm. I'm womanish. I think I know, right? And so, you know, and then, you know, let's talk about the whole body shaming. Like we're women are taught, like, our bodies are not really ours. And so it's so many layers to this thing. And so you got this mix of emotions, you don't have the safe space to go, and then you just start to feel bad. And it's already just enough just, you know, maneuvering through life without all of that. And so then you tack that on to puberty and all the things that happen.
It's and a lot.
Now you're just a mess, and now you're withdrawn. Now you're isolating, and now you got attitude, and so now there's a problem with that because you got attitude. So now you're in trouble for having attitude, and you can't. So it's just these layers upon layers upon layers, and
yeah, the very walls that you put up to protect yourself then become a barrier for you to come out of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, some of us eat to protect ourselves. So we start to gain weight, all these things. We do things to make ourselves unattractive. Or you go to the other side and you do all these things to get more attention because that's what you think that you're supposed to do. And now your body is a reward, right? Because that's how you learn how to show appreciation because that's what you were taught. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot. If you're just joining me, that is the voice of Hunia Bradley. She's my guest on Women's Magazine this afternoon. My name is Vilma V, and we are recognizing Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and we're having the difficult conversations about sexual assault and oppression and violence and refusing to stay silent about it. Tell me more about the role that culture can play in this. There's this idea about rape culture, and how does that prevent women from getting speaking up about it? Because we also want to talk about breaking the silence.
Well, this country is built on rape culture. Mm. Right? The whole foundation. You know, the exploitation of all the indigenous peoples. Mm. Mm-hmm. The trafficking of African people, right?
That's right.
It's a huge trafficking market worldwide. And so it's built in, right? Because you had to create a subhuman, non-human people to legitimize the trafficking. The abuse, the rape, all of the things. You use religion, you use the laws, you use all these things, you know, baked in to the whole thing. And so now we got this, it's a systematic endeavor that we're up against.
Yeah, when you put it all that and all the things I've said, too, about the global nature of it, the Epstein files and what's happened in France and just in all around, how do we do this? How do we even break the silence about it? What's the best way? I know we're going to talk about your event later, but it's just hitting me the severity and the enormity of the problem.
Those of us who have survived, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to tell our stories to whomever will listen. Mm. So, you know, I don't have a problem with saying trigger warning. You ask me a question, I'm about to answer it, right? And so those of us who have the voice, those who have opportunity, we have to share. You know, thank God we have Sexual Assault Awareness Month, so that gives us more and more opportunities. You know, I'm grateful for our partnership with East Bay Church. You know, East Bay Church of Religious Science has allowed us this platform, and so we get to, you know, host events, we get to host workshops, we get to host support groups and all the things. And so that's what we have to do. We have every opportunity. We have to share our story, write it down, you know, shows like this, you know, events that, you know, we have coming up, writing our books. I'm working on my own.
Hold on.
You know, we have to tell the story. And we have to mentor other young women. mentor other young men. That's the other thing. We talk a lot about women, but it's men too. Yes. It's little boys.
Oh, yes.
Who have an even probably more challenging, right?
Yes.
Because we've created spaces for a while for women. But the young men, the young boys, not so much. Right?
Yeah, they kept a lot of that in and it doesn't come out for many years. I mean, you see that in the abuse in the Catholic Church, how many young boys, and then they have to, you know, they're older men by the time they realize or come to terms with it.
Or even just feel safe enough to say it, because think about it. If with a man or boy, if it happens with a woman, you know, like, come on, man up, come on, right?
Yeah.
And then if the perpetrator is a male, now there's this label that they can't get out of, right? And then, you know, I tell women all the time, be careful what you say, because your guy is listening, and if he hears you speaking in a negative way about these kinds of experiences, now he knows he doesn't have a safe space to tell you what's happening with him, what has happened to him. And then you're having these intimacy problems in your relationship, and it's probably the result of something that happened to him in the past. He can't talk to you because he heard how you talk about it with your friends in your inner circle, right? So we have to create safe spaces.
Yeah, because this is a problem that goes for years. I mean, you see the women with the Cesar Chavez incident. I mean, as I mentioned, he died in 1993.
Yeah.
And yet these women, who many are just maybe a little younger than myself, in their 50s, and they've been dealing with this for years. They haven't gotten over it. Got addicted to heroin. Some have had uneven job situations because it's not something. Talk a little bit about that.
It affects every area of your life. Because it affects your self-worth. Ask me how I know. You know, that we go into these cycles of, you know, you get so much money and then you know, it's like you make a step and then you trip. And then, you get triggered by so many different things all the time. And like I said, because we don't have, you know, we're still, you know, in this stage of creating spaces, like, you don't even realize sometimes what happened. Like, why are you feeling this way? A song, a billboard, you know, somebody says something that reminds you of, I can recall being triggered by certain songs, you know, that would remind me of a time when I was with my father or something. And then, you know, it would take me to a space, and then I couldn't really talk about it, you know? Because, you know, I didn't tell my mother until I was almost 50, right? So, right, what do you do with that? And, it reminds me, like, I think about, I have a friend who used to do cocaine or whatever, and she said the billboards, you know, like the anti-drug billboards, it'd be these huge mounds of cocaine. And she said it would trigger her to want to use again, right?
Sure.
So it's like all these things that you know, in the marketing of certain things that trigger us, take us to a dark space, and then you don't know. So, you know, therapy for everybody.
Yeah, because then your defenses go down and, yeah. So this is becoming a great conversation because it's moving fast. And I do want to spend some time talking about what's happening with East Bay and also the Our Joy, the Restorative Justice. Tell us about the event that you're holding specifically to recognize Sexual Assault Awareness Month and to provide something for women. Talk to us about what you're doing.
Yeah, so every April for sure, April and in October. So April, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We host salons. This will actually be our fourth salon since we began doing these. And we call it Community Healing Salons. And it's an opportunity for us to have conversation with therapists and coaches and counselors and, you know, what we call experts in the field of sexual assault, sexual harm, restoration, and all of that. We have these conversations, you know, many workshops, and then also paired with body work. So there's massage and Reiki and yoga and art therapy, garden therapy, and all of the things. And this is an opportunity for us to just explore a little bit more, like how, you know, the tools that can be used to help bring us back to joy, right? Because the truth is you're whole, perfect, and complete. Like, that's the truth, right? But these things happen, these circumstances, these conditions happen, and then we forget. We get, you know, and so this is our opportunity. This is our way of giving back to what has been given to us. These are the people, these are the tools that we have used over time to help us to navigate back to joy, right? Because underneath there, you know, there's that happy child that was born, right? That innocent child that was born and had this great gift for life and love of life, and then these things happen, and then we fell off, and so here we are. Those of us who remember, we are obligated to reach in and reach back and help the next one. So we have some beautiful experts coming. Nola Brantley of Nola Brantley Speaks, you know, former executive director of Missy. And we have some psychologists. We have coaches. We have just a wonderful lineup of folks who are, you know, ready to give it to you.
Yeah, right. Help you do the work.
Tell
us specifically, if someone's listening, how do they sign up or where do they go at the time? Just a specific that, because also, folks, if you may not need this, maybe you've done some work and you've been blessed and haven't had, or it's been a while since you've been harassed or felt this. A lot of young women are still dealing with it all the time.
Yeah.
It's part of going through puberty, I almost think, or even before that. So tell them how they can plug someone in,
right?
Give them the info. What is it?
Yes.
How do they do?
Yeah. So Saturday, the last Saturday of this month, April 25th, from 10 to 4, we'll be at East Bay Church, 41st and Telegraph. And you can, should I give my phone number?
If you can give it out, it's all good. That's up to you.
No, it's all good.
Okay.
510-228-7596, because I understand sometimes you just need to hear a voice, and that's okay. And then you can also email us at the SAN team, thesaanteam@gmail.com. And you can get all the information. You can register. If you are a practitioner that has some skills that you'd like to offer to the community, then we'll welcome that. If you want to volunteer, if you know someone, you know, bring them in. It's free. It's free. There'll be a little food. We start off with a sound bath, and then we just ease into the conversation. And we'll, like I said, there'll be yoga and body workers, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about family secrets. We're going to talk about incest. We're going to talk about ways to raise your voice. We're going to talk about restorative ways of restorative practices that will allow you to get to feel whole again outside of the so-called criminal justice system, right? Outside of the legal system. Like, what do you do when you've been harmed but you don't want to call the police? Because, you know, I'll just speak for myself. Like, I didn't think about it, because from where I come from, when you call the police, somebody's going to get unalived. Mm. Somebody's going to get hurt. And that's not what I wanted for the people that I loved, right? I didn't want that for my father. I was hurt and all of that, but I didn't want nobody to kill him. I didn't want nobody to hurt him. I just want him to stop, right? I just wanted my cousin to stop. I just wanted my uncle to stop, right? I just wanted the babysitter to stop. I just wanted that man to stop. That's all I wanted. And maybe an apology, maybe an acknowledgement, you know? And so we have folks available for that. We have restorative practices to allow that to happen as well.
Yeah, there's a way to start coming back and start to become whole again.
you, but I'm stronger. You thought that I'd be broke without you, but I'm richer. You thought that I'd be sad without you, I love harder. You thought I wouldn't grow without you, now I'm wiser. You thought that I'd be helpless without you, but I'm smarter. You thought that I'd be stressed without you, but I'm chilling.
Support for KPFK comes from a screening of the documentary Steal This Story on Friday, April 17, 2026, as a fundraiser for KPFK. The event takes place at the Lemley Royal in West Los Angeles with a screening at 1:10 p.m. and 7:10 p.m. Democracy Now! Host Amy Goodman will be in attendance for a Q&A session alongside filmmakers Carl Diehl and Tia Lesson. Information and full event details are available at kpfk.org.
You're listening to Feminist Magazine on KPFK on 90.7 FM and kpfk.org. I'm your host today, Lynn Harris-Ballin.
That is the Queen Bee herself, Beyoncé. I'm a survivor. We're trying to move beyond surviving to thriving. My name is Vilma. And before I get to the healing part, which I'm not going to leave you stranded, now I am so excited about my next guest. This is Dr. Lori Pitts. She is a life coach, a metaphysician, and a founder of Still Whole Wellness, where she helps individuals heal from trauma and reconnect with their identity, their voice, and their purpose. She herself is a survivor of sexual trauma, and so she brings both lived experience and professional insight to her work. Are you with me, Dr. Pitts?
Blessings, blessings, Vilma. Yes, I am. Blessings, Hunia. I understand you got to be there in the studio today.
Yes.
How are you?
Great.
And
I'm so glad.
Blessings to all
here.
The listeners.
Yes, we're so glad that you can join us and that you have come up with, like, you have the Alchemist program, you have the powerful principles of decision, action, and accountability, and then you have this wonderful book, The Five Pillars of Healing, a spiritual blueprint for transforming sexual trauma. So I'll start with, if you want to tell us a little bit about your past and your connection to this awful, the sexual harassment abuse, but then how it led you to writing this book, The Still Whole, The Five Pillars of Healing. And we'll talk a bit more about what those five pillars are. But what brought you to this work? Let's start with that.
Yes, absolutely. First, just thank you for having me. Thank you to the KPFA family. I don't live in the Bay Area, so I'm not too familiar with the station, but I actually spoke with some folks before jumping on today, and they said you all station is like the leading station there. So just thank you again for the invitation. So the way I kind of, you know, started in this work is really simple. I have a master's degree in clinical psychology and a doctorate degree in metaphysics. And during my understudy, I was working at a substance abuse clinic as a counselor there. And I would say about 97% of those that were on my caseload that were struggling with substances, about 97% of those individuals at the root had some type of a sexual trauma. Mm. And the more that I kind of dug into that and just started noticing the pattern, and then after, you know, experiencing some things on the job, I said, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. Not in this way. You know, I know that I have that healing is my purpose. I know that that's what I was put here for, but I didn't want to do it in that way anymore. It just didn't feel congruent for me. And so I said, you know what? I'm a survivor myself, and I want to dedicate the rest of my professional career with helping people to actually work through some of this trauma to where maybe we can actually kind of solve two things at once, where we can help people with the sexual trauma, as well as maybe reduce some people who are dealing with substance abuse. And, you know, my personal history, I, much like Hunia and many of your listeners, I'm sure, I've dealt with sexual trauma since the age of 5. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, Velma, more times than I care to count. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I started going to therapy myself, still see my therapist to this day. Shout out to Miss Susan. And, you know, it's just a process that I wanted to be able to help people to walk through as a coach, because one of the things that is fundamentally different from a coach versus traditional therapy, a couple of things actually, is a coach is going to actually have framework for you to follow. There's going to be actual structure there where you're not just kind of talking about the trauma, but you're actually working through it. And as a coach, I actually am able to share my story with you. You know, a traditional therapist, that's kind of frowned upon. You know, it's very cold, if I can say that. Mm. You know, and so I wanted to be able to be in a place where people know that, hey, it happened to me too. And this is the reason why I'm even more qualified to be able to help you with this particular pain, because I understand it from a different lens.
Yeah. And you connect the whole idea of decision, action, and accountability. Can you talk about how that interplay into the healing?
Yes, absolutely. So I believe that there's a point where each survivor, they kind of get to a place where they realize, okay, life is really lifing, and I don't like the way it's lifing. Mm-hmm. and they get to this space where they make a decision. And that decision is, okay, I need to take some steps forward to be able to figure this stuff out. And so that's really that decision. And for some people, they're not making that decision until they're in that free consultation with me. Mm-hmm. Right. And then there's some framework, and then there's the action. The action steps become where you're moving from what it is that you logically know, where you're not just talking about what happened, although that is vitally important to the process, but you take it a step further where now there's actual action steps that you can employ to begin to allow your life to look differently. Because to Hunia's point, there's the five pillars, part of the title of the book, The Five Pillars of Healing. Those are the five areas that I find that sexual trauma is going to rear its ugly head the most, and maybe even in spaces that the average person doesn't recognize, right? So those five pillars being mind, body, spirit, wealth, and relationships. I think the one area that kind of surprises people the most is the wealth aspect, mm-hmm. right? So in my program, in the Alchemist program, we're fleshing out those action steps to actually help you improve your wealth. But that first key point is showing you how sexual trauma is actually showing up in your bank account, whether you realize it or not. Mm-hmm. I'm going to help you to see that. And then the last piece of it is actually the accountability, where that is where you then have me as a coach that is giving you those data girls, those data boys, that's holding you accountable for the things that you just said that you were going to do. You came to me saying, that I've made a decision. I want my life to look differently. I don't want this trauma to continue to rule over my life. And I actually want to rule over my life. And so, okay, I'm going to hold you accountable to those things.
Yeah, I really like you have a key message. You are not broken. Healing is possible and you can still be whole. Tell us a little bit about how with your book, talk more about those five pillars to get us back to wholeness.
Absolutely. So some of them, Hunia has actually already kind of spoken to, which I'm so grateful that she did. That lets me know she's been reading. and I just want to say too about the book, like this isn't the kind of book, I didn't write it in a way for people to just read it all the way through, because obviously there's going to be things that are going to come up as you are reading the book. And so even as I wrote the book, there are different prompts for the reader to actually stop and just take a breath, just simply take a breath. But in the mind portion of the book, you know, I'm talking about things like the subconscious mind, you know, and how that plays a role in you being able to move forward in your life. You know, in the body portion of the book, I'm talking about things like some of the things that Hunia mentioned, how your body does not forget. Mm-hmm. And in some aspects, we end up doing certain things to protect ourselves. You know, for myself, it was eating. It was definitely eating. Mm-hmm. I actually share a story in the book where I'm at the dinner table and I go to reach for a second piece of cornbread. And I love me some cornbread to this day. and my mom, she popped my hand and she's like, put that back. You're going to be big as a house. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was, it was a very pivotal moment because I started to recognize what it, of course, not then, but in hindsight, I started to recognize, oh, that's when that started. That's when that started. That's when I was beginning to actually eat in order to soothe myself, number one, and two, to become unattractive to the opposite sex. Because I just wanted to be protected. I just didn't want it to happen anymore. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, if I'm unattractive, then maybe it won't happen again. Right. So that's one of the things that tends to happen in the body as it relates to the body when it comes to trauma. Spiritually, we would need a whole hour this film to really break that down. But for me, spiritually, it was a lot of blaming God.
Yeah,
it was a lot of blaming God. And I coined a phrase that sexual assault happened for me, not to me. And it's a quote that has been very much criticized because.
Yeah. In fact, you got to say that again, because it's something that Hunia brought up when we had a pre-interview and it has stuck with me. And I was like, wait, what? So say that again and explain yourself about that, because that is not something that just kind of glides by like, well, is what? So tell us.
Right.
Come on now.
Right. Absolutely. No worries. So sexual trauma happened for me, not to me. It is a loving, gentle challenge for the person who hears that to begin to shift your perspective, because in the work that I do and the framework that I work from, that's where it begins. That's where the work that we're able to do together, that's where that starts, is in you being able to change that perspective and reclaim that narrative that it happened for me, not to me. And what I mean by that is once I started peeling back the onion layers of the abuse, of the many instances of abuse, there's a myriad of different things that begin to happen. Mm. One, God blessed me with a singing voice. I've been singing since I was probably 3 years old. And yet, up until a few years ago, I'd say maybe 10, 15 years ago, if you put a mic in my hand to speak, I couldn't speak. Hmm. 10, 15 years ago, Ms. Velma, there is no way in the world that I would be doing this interview with you right now.
Wow.
I couldn't. But if you ask me to sing something, not a problem. I got you. And so it stole my voice.
Mm-hmm.
But as I began to walk through this process of healing, and one that maybe people don't want to hear, this maybe unpopular opinion, it doesn't stop and it shouldn't stop. That healing doesn't stop and it shouldn't stop. We should always be looking to evolve. But once I started to walk through this process, I got my voice back. I got my voice back. Another thing that began to happen was I stopped blaming God. I stopped pointing the fingers at God and at my parents, at everybody. And I started turning that thing on its head to figure out, okay, if we believe in God, and I'm one who does, and God allowed this thing to happen. In fact, I would even challenge that and say that it is an agreement that I actually came here with. Hmm. So if that be the case, if we work from that that school of thought, then there's got to be a reason. So what was the reason? So I got my voice back. I developed a relationship with God. I was raised in the church, and so I thought I had one. My father was a Baptist preacher for most of my childhood. Mm-hmm. So I thought I had a relationship with God, but I didn't. But I got my relationship with God. It improved the way that I parent. It improved the way that I see myself. It improved the way that I handle money. It happened for me, not to me. But it's not until we begin to challenge that and start to not reject it and actually consider it and kind of peel it apart that you actually begin to see the different areas of your life. That's my story. For everybody, it might be something different, but it wasn't until I allowed myself to challenge that perspective that I started to clearly see where it happened for me.
Amazing. I was going to take a musical break, but I'm not going to take it. I'll use that song, Kirsten, just at the end for the music bed. Because Hunia, I'm sure you got something to say here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, when I met Dr. Lori and she gave me that tagline, it happened for me. I said, this lady crazy. She done lost her mind. But it, you know, it sat with me. Like, it was like, I couldn't shake that. I was like, what are you talking about? What? So now I'm in this place, right? I'm in my own metaphysical studies, my own practitioner studies. And I'm like, okay, so now I've learned to see the gift in everything.
There you go.
Right? Mm-hmm. The gift in everything. Because now it's like my superpower. I can tell. I can feel. I can feel when somebody's going through something, right? And I can almost give you the prescription, right? Like, try this, try that, try, like, how are you feeling, right? I have had, because of my experience, I've had men to come and share with me, like, their story. I've had men to say, well, you know who you got to be for me to tell you this? Because I ain't told nobody. I'm not talking about this thing. So it does, you know, it's like when I was talking to Vilma earlier, like, so now it's like this thing of, because I know the feeling, I get to help the next person because I know which I can understand. I can empathize, right? It's like this thing, I say, embrace your fear, right? We get opportunity to embrace our forgiveness, our empathy, accountability, and restoration or reconciliation. You know what I'm saying? Like, all those things. But when I first heard that thing, for the sexual assault happened for me, not to me, I was like, nah, because I need to spend too much. I need to spend more time in blaming him. You're like, I got revenge. I got this thing. But now, because I can't even control what that other person has done, right? I can only control what's happening inside of me. And I had to get to a point of forgiveness. I had to get, you know, and I can only do that if I spend time with me. But if I'm out there, right, But that's it's
how you get your power back. It's to empower yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
And it's also maybe why we can then look at some of the terrible things that happened, like to Miss Pellicold in France and victims of the Alexander brothers and the Cesar Chavez, is that then that harm was exposed so that a lot of other people can hear about it and then act on it. We are coming against the clock here. Mm. We only got about 9-10 minutes, but you do have a question here about that you can take one step someone can take today to begin moving forward. What would you say that step is?
To decide. To simply decide. I think I know that there is a difference between a choice and a decision. Hmm. Decision requires action.
Yes.
So decide that this is not going to continue to run rampant in your life. Mm-hmm. Decide to sit with someone, even if it not be myself, sit with someone that understands from, hopefully, if you're lucky, from a clinical and maybe even a metaphysical perspective, as well as a personal perspective. Sit with someone and decide to open your mouth and speak.
Yeah.
And how, if people are hearing you and they're like, okay, I definitely want to check out Still Whole, the 5 pillars of healing, a spiritual blueprint for transforming sexual trauma. They're experiencing some sexual trauma. How do they get a hold of your book? How can they find you? Tell us some of that info.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So right now the ebook is available on the website, stillwholewellness@gmail.com. I'm sorry. stillwholewellness.com, sorry, as well as on Amazon. And you can just look up the title of the book and it'll pop right up.
And what
the e-version is available right now.
Okay. And tell us briefly then as we move to end here, what do you want readers to take away with after reading your book? What's the big thing that you would like them to have as a takeaway?
That they're not broken. Mm-hmm. That they were never broken, mm-hmm. and that this ugly, horrible thing that has taken place does not have to be your entire story.
That's right.
It does not have to define you. It does not have to be the label that you wear. That's why it's called Still Whole, mm-hmm. because you are still whole.
Perfect.
Excellent. You came here whole and you are still whole, even after this ugly thing. You are still whole. That's what I want people to understand. And I want them to begin to just decide, take some action in actually moving forward to begin whatever your version of the healing journey is, because it is something different for everyone. And lastly, I'll just let everyone know that this is not a linear thing. There are things that I thought that I had healed 15 years ago, that a different aspect of it or a different element of it pops up today. Absolutely. That doesn't mean that I didn't do the work. It just means that this is something now new that spirit wants me to see.
Yes. Yes.
Those are beautiful words, the words of Dr. Lori Pitts. She's been my guest this afternoon on Women's Magazine. Her book, she's the author of Still Whole, The 5 Pillars of Healing, a Spiritual Blueprint for Transforming Sexual Trauma. We've been discussing sexual trauma, oppression, violence, harassment, rape as part of Sexual Assault Awareness Month. My guest, Hunia Bradley. I want to give you a minute or two to the end here to say some things and remind folks.
Absolutely. So Sand will be reading that book, Still Whole, as a part of our book club starting, I think, next week. Also, our event, From Silence to Restoration, is happening Saturday, April 25th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at East Bay Church, 4130 Telegraph, 10 to 4. Come, bring a friend. It's going to be a beautiful day. You can reach us on Facebook, Sand Community. We're also on we have a website, the Sand Community, as well as Instagram. And you can also call 510-228-7596 if you need some support right away. Dr. Lori will probably be there as well. We're working on that. But yes.
Awesome. Well, that is so wonderful. I really want to appreciate both of you.
Yes.
We're at almost at the end of this hour for Women's Magazine. It's been such a pleasure to have spent time with my audience and with both my guests, Hunia Bradley of the SAN Network. And SAN is S-A-A-N. And Dr. Lori Pitts, she's the author of Still Whole, The Five Pillars of Healing, A Spiritual Blueprint from Transforming Sexual Trauma. There's five pillars. We just scratched the surface. If you or someone you know has been experiencing or has experienced sexual trauma, oppression, rape, reach out to them. There are ways that we can help.
Yes.
So my name is Vilma V. Thank you so much. So let's keep breaking the silence and speaking up this month. Thank you. Yes.
And we're wrapping up another edition of Feminist Magazine. Don't forget, you can find all the links from our program today on our website, feministmagazine.org. Find us on Facebook and sharing behind-the-scenes photos on Instagram. Our programs are archived in the kpfk.org audio archives. You can find our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, too.